Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is off topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got in mind to combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voices about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss and grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome back.
The latest Mountain West Connection show here. Jeremy hanging out with Chris. Visit us at MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, Google Plus, all the same old social media stuff.
Remember that the name of this show is The Mountain West Connection.
Yeah.
As well as the name of the website is Mountain West Connection.
Yes, just visit. Google search that. You'll find my picture, our website. Awesome writing by our 20-plus writers we have, and we are now into week 6 of college football. It's almost halfway over.
Almost halfway over, and we almost have to hand out mid-season awards.
Oh, we are. We are going to hand out mid-season awards. We have a special...
Of course we are.
We're going to have a special Google Plus Live video Oscar-worthy hangout, award-winning hangout.
Yes, and it will be epic.
Yes. And also, just for those who know, we are doing a poll or a internal awards, and also we will be posting on the website fan voting, so you can participate. If you know how to hijack a poll, a Google form, go ahead and do that. Give 10,000 votes. I know those Utah State fans know how to use their computer coding skills.
Aggie fans.
Play nice. So we're going to have a couple of player of the midseason award, coach of the year, crap before derp of the year, or poor performance, whatever you want to call it. What else we got? Newcomer, all sorts of stuff. But we got 6 games this week. Nearly had 5 games, as I mentioned in our, because this is our second attempt. Thanks, government.
Thanks, government. Thanks, Jeremy, for not recording the first time.
Hey, at least there's only 5 minutes in and not 55 minutes in.
This is true.
And yeah, it's already Thursday night, and we're already doing delayed of this because of my other work. I can't do it Wednesday night, but yeah, the Air Force Navy game almost got shut down because the government shut down. I know. There's hundreds of thousands of people out of work. A lot of programs are shut down or barely working. And I know that's obviously more important than college football, because I feel I should mention that, because if I don't, it feels like all these guys are idiots. They know nothing. It's just all about college football to them. But it still sucks.
It's kind of our jobs.
It is. So I want to recognize or mention, yes, there's people who are not working or barely working or could technically get seriously in trouble if they check their BlackBerry email on the government email. So just want to make sure that's clear. But apparently, I guess it came through from some private funding. That's the reason they can make that happen. And it's a one-week deal, so who knows what will happen the next month. And we'll get to that when we get to Air Force and Navy. But as we always do, chronological order, we had a Friday night's going to be a great night.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a fantastic night.
Well, at least one of the games will be. Second game would have been preseason worthy, I guess, but not at the moment. It's... still should be okay, I think.
At the moment, we'll get to that game in a little bit, but It's very interesting what Vegas has to say. But here's the thing. It feels like Friday night's game sets the bar high for the rest of the weekend, and Saturday's just kind of going to be, you know, yeah. And then Sunday night, you know, for those of you on the East Coast, it'll be late Saturday night for us. That actually seems like it could potentially be an interesting game.
Hawaii. But, yeah, we got a bunch of games spread out. But here's what we start out with. Friday night, our favorite former Mountain West compadre, BYU Cougars.
And by favorite, he means I hate everybody.
I'm just saying, they are our favorite team that are no longer in the league, right? Who would you rank as your favorite non-team, Utah, Boise, BYU, or Utah?
Utah.
Of course, yes. Go Utes. So we'll mention that. They're playing UCLA at the moment in what should be a shootout. But, yeah, BYU is traveling three-hour bus ride up to Logan, Utah, which is really a crap hole. Sorry, Logan people, but it is a terrible place to be. It's freezing cold year-round. But this game, I actually want it because I'm not – my other job, I do cover BYU, so I know quite a bit about what's going on with them. I am not able to go to the game, so I'm like, oh, I'll maybe buy a ticket and go. It's sold out, which is a great thing. It's going to be a great atmosphere because Aggie fans go nuts. But I'm not going to spend, like, $80 on tickets for one ticket to go.
No, of course not.
And so I'm like – crap. So I'll watch on TV or whatever, which is just as fine. But I just wanted to be – I've never been to a football game there, and this would be a good one to go to because these two teams are getting close to being on par now with the whole state. It used to be all Utah, BYU, that's it, nothing else. But now Cougars head to Logan. And what is the – is it still a six-point favorite, or what's the current line on this game? I'm trying to pull it up.
I believe that Utah State is favored by six.
Yes, it's steady at six. And yeah. This is a road favorite. Mind you, road favorite. Which, you know what the capacity of at Romney Stadium is? It's like 35,000.
Hey, that's a loud 35,000, though.
It is, because I remember watching Utah play them last year. But this game, all we need to say is two words, or one word, just Chucky, right?
Chucky Keaton.
This game...
You could say Taysom Hill, but Taysom Hill can't throw worth shit.
That's two words. But yes, let's just get into that right away. I have been listening around here, around the state, at my other job, talking, reporting, discussing, listening to BYU or talk about Taysom Hill. Here's the thing. I should have had this up, make it dramatic.
Here's the thing. Jay Keeps was a better quarterback.
I don't know about that either. Did you see? Wait, not the. We're veering off top, very hard right now. Did you happen to catch the end of the Louisiana Tech Kansas game a couple weeks ago?
No, I didn't.
Okay, Kansas won. I think it was 10-7. They were carrying. I think it was. I don't know if it was who it was. It was on mute. I had a bunch of TVs up where I was working, so I had that game happen to be on Fox Sports 1. In the corner of some sorts. I see them celebrating. I think it went to two overtimes, or not. Maybe not overtime, something. But they were so excited, they carried off either the quarterback or the kicker off the field like they just won the Orange Bowl or something. They were so excited for squeaking past Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, this isn't Sonny Dykes 2012 Louisiana Tech that nearly upset Texas A&M, and probably would have if they would have been able to play them opening weekend. But, no, it was just... 10-7, that was ridiculous. But what I'm getting at is BYU, they have a great defense. Let me rephrase that. A front seven, which is comparable. Is it fair to say that they're comparable to USC's front seven within the ballpark?
I would say it's within the ballpark.
Yeah, I'd say they're fairly close because Kyle Van Noy is going to be – I don't care what anybody says. He's the best player on the field, offense or defense.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, I would say it's Kyle Van Noy plus six other guys make it a reasonably good – BYU front seven.
They got Ethan Manalalu, who's at their nose tackle, who's very good.
I don't know who that is.
He's very good. They also have Bronson Kafusi, very good. They got some good. Like I said, I follow this team more closely than most other teams. I shouldn't say forced to. I'm lucky enough to be able to follow that team and get a few bucks. But they have some good players. So the thing is, their secondary, I don't think any of them had a Division I scholarship offer outside of BYU. No joke.
Their secondary might be worse than Fresno State's secondary.
No. No. Well, here's the reason we don't know, because I keep telling people this. Chucky Keaton should be, if he can sit back in the pocket and throw and get time, that's a big F. No doubt he would pick apart this BYU secondary like nothing, nobody's business. But I keep telling people the secondary is awful. They're like, why aren't teams passing on him? Well, because you got Kyle Van Noy, you got like Tyler Beck, all these players on the front seven who are very good, getting into what, rushing and blitzing or rushing four guys only and stopping anything that comes in their way for the quarterback. So we don't know how poor this, nobody really knows how poor the secondary is except for people who are like really, really close to the program. If Utah State's offensive line can hold up and do fine, I have no doubt they could smoke BYU secondary. We just need they haven't seen an offensive line. BYU's defensive front hasn't seen an offensive line they couldn't handle. They've already played Utah, has good players. Texas, I know it's Texas. Laugh all you want about Texas, right? But they still have big athletes. Am I correct?
Yes. Texas has a 1-point lead over Iowa State right now, for those of you who are curious. We're recording on Thursday night, and this is the ESPN game that's on the game right now. Iowa State is currently driving, so we will keep an eye on this to kind of laugh at BYU more, kind of to discredit them beating Texas at home.
Yeah. Well, Taysom Hill did run pretty good. But I'm just saying, BYU's always had a poor secondary. Even when they're in the Mountain West, they'd be able to hide it, like do scheming, which is a good job on Bronco Mendenhall and their defense. It's a good job, right?
Right. But you can't hide it forever, especially with really good quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Tyler Wilson was able to tear up BYU's defense.
And he's still growing into be a quarterback. And he got thrusted in last year as a true freshman due to injury. And so it's... I don't know. Here's what I start getting with Taysom Hill. You know, okay, here's the stat. I bet you nobody knew this. You know how many touchdown passes BYU threw in the month of September?
I'm going to go ahead and say 2.
0.
Really?
No, wait. Sorry, 1. One touchdown.
I was close.
Sorry, their last week.
I didn't think it was 0.
They scored. They got the touchdown pass last week against Middle Tennessee State. And this is with Cody Hoffman, who is...
possibly one of the best receivers in the nation.
Couple guys better, like Marquise Wilson, or excuse me, Marquise Lee of USC.
I wouldn't even say Marquise Lee. I would say the one guy from Maryland.
Yeah.
Devontae Davis.
Well, he's going to be an NFL pick. He had 100 passes last year without a quarterback. Okay, he has 1 touchdown, 4 picks, averaging 5.6 yards per attempt. And the only reason Taysom Hill's at 40% passing the ball is because it gets a bad Middle Tennessee State team, 73%. And even going 73%, he only threw for 177 yards. And I mistake. Sorry, his touchdown came. No, I was correct. He had 0 touchdowns in September because that Virginia game was August 31st, and that's when they had their touchdown pass. He has gone 3 games without a touchdown pass.
And odds are he won't get one this game.
It's not – the reason we're focused on BYU because we know what Utah State will do. Chucky Keaton's fine. He'll throw the ball. He'll find whoever on the outside. They'll give it to Joe Hill. If all we really need to be concerned about is if Utah State's offensive line can let Keaton roll out, make some plays, and give him some time to throw the ball. If that does not happen, then it could be like the USC game, in my opinion, a low-scoring matchup.
Yeah, no, of course.
But, and then here's the thing, too. Because Utah State, they have like Joey DeMartino. They have a few wide receivers who are stepping up, like Travis Van Leeuwen, a lot of guys who will catch the ball on the outside. If you watch BYU play, I know you probably don't watch them because you hate them so much, but Middle Tennessee State did a lot of quick 4-step drops, 3-step drops, all those quick slants, and releasing the ball before Kyle Van Noy and anybody else can make a move to the offense. You know what I mean? Can make the blitz or rush through to stop the pass. They'll do a quick, because Utah State will run that fast offense. They'll get a first down, go up quick, call a play, throw it, or run it, whatever. If they can do those quick slants, you know what I'm talking about, over the middle, those bubble screens, those quick wide receiver screens, then because BYU secondary will play 10 yards off the wide receiver. So why not do that, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say this right now. Texas has just been gifted with a win.
No Paul Rhodes magic again.
No, Paul Rhodes magic was working until a BS pass interference. Like, there was 0 pass interference, and the refs called it.
Interesting.
So now there's a slight call for heads about, refs favoring traditional powers, which I, you know, we, somebody wrote an article, and I can't remember who it was last year, with even the Mountain West about favoritism in terms of basketball refereeing for home teams or for traditionally stronger teams. But I really think that there is that kind of thing.
You think that'll happen Friday night?
I think that will happen Friday night with BYU Utah State?
Yeah.
I don't think as much because, one, they're using Mountain West referees, correct?
I'm not sure about that, Snicks. I don't know who's officiating the game, so hard to tell.
Okay.
But, wait, okay, back to this game, because I know we're talking so much about one game.
Well, we kind of circled around back to this game.
Yeah, this is the game. Here's the thing. The key. Obviously, like I said, Utah State's front defensive front, they can stop. But then also, not to joke around, but we know Taysom Hill can't throw. All his other games were 37% completion percentage as a high. 32. Here's how do you like this line? Against Texas, 9 of 26 throwing the ball.
That's.
But yeah, he did run for, 250?
He ran for 250, but he was 9 of 26 throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was even decent at being quarterback, not running back
correct,
Taysom
yes,
Hill.
Yes.
Quarterback Taysom Hill. If he was halfway decent at being quarterback Taysom Hill, Texas would have lost by even more.
This here's the thing. He threw 70, he went 73%. He still barely cracked 40% on the year passing the ball.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
I like it to people. Oh, he's improving every game. Yeah, 32%, 34%, 37%. Come on. And, like, if he improves that much in the season, he'll be at 60-something percent in that final game.
Yeah, no, he won't.
I'm just saying, but if he could throw 50%, I would probably give BYU a very good edge of winning this game if we knew he could throw the ball 50% average. And that's just okay. So,
but the fact still stands that, I mean,
he can't throw the ball. His mechanics suck.
Utah State's front seven is fairly strong as well.
Yeah.
And so if he's just going to try and reach the edges or burst through the middle, that's not going to happen.
We know Utah State's got the Vigil brothers, got Jack Daugherty back there. They have plenty of guys. We said it early in the year, and I think last year, recall back that Wisconsin game last year. They pushed back Monty Ball. They pushed back that Wisconsin offensive line, physically pushed him back. Even against USC, they had a good push.
Now don't get us wrong. Don't get us wrong. They're not as strong as they were last year in terms of the front seven, but they're still very strong. They held USC's rushing, which is USC's strong point of the year offensively. Mm-hmm. They held their rushing to 118 yards.
Correct. And even though they did lose, Utah State did lose Kyle Wimpy to a season-ending injury, the guard position, their depth is perfectly fine because Kyle Aguna, the Tribune, says it's not a big issue. I'll see Tuaveu to step in and Bill these Polynesian names, Bill Vavu, I believe, even though that one's pretty simple, because I got Tauveu correct somehow. Like I said, it's a good offensive line.
You know what? For practice, I'm going to make you say the whole Hawaii's roster for practice and pronouncing.
No.
But, you know. So, I mean, I think we've kind of beaten the high points of this game to death. All you need to know about this game, Chucky Keaton, Taysom Hill, Utah State secondary, BYU secondary, and how the four are going to kind of clash with each other.
Well, also, I'd also say with Chucky Keaton, the BYU front seven.
That's what I said, BYU front seven.
Oh, you said back defensive backfield.
Sorry.
Okay, that's why I'm making sure. Because
front seven.
I still think BYU, this will be a close game. Like last year's game, what was it, 6-3 or something like that? 9 to a bunch of field goals?
God, it was unwatchable.
I remember I was there. And all. Here's one last thing I'll mention about Taysom Hill because we're going on. Like I said, I'm down there at practice a lot doing stuff. We asked the coaches, so, hey, how do you get him to throw the ball better? I get it during Utah, there's a lot of drop passes, but when you're throwing 10 yards over the receiver, 5 yards behind him in the dirt, not giving him easy passes like bubble screens or I don't know the last time they did a running back, like a short pass outside of Virginia to like Jamal Williams, who also side note, he's back after his concussion, should be okay to go. And he's a big part of their offense. But the coaches keep saying, well, it's a combination of things. The wide receiver's not running good routes. The offensive line not blocking.
No, you can't be defending Taysom Hill anymore.
A little. I could see a little bit. Like, drop passes were a big concern versus Utah. There's about
you have Cody Hoffman, and you're not able
and
to
Ross,
utilize
Ross,
him.
Ross Apo, Ross Apo as well, who was a Texas commit and who never saw the light of day because Riley Nelson did not want to throw him the ball. Let me rephrase that. Riley Nelson had one read. Had no, two reads. Cody Hoffman, take off and run. That's all he would do. He's not open. I'm going to run. That's what it was. So they have talent. They have J.D. Falslef, who can play like a Z receiver, running back, wide receiver. I agree. You can't. There's a point where you can't say it's everybody else's fault but the quarterback's fault. It's a lot of people's fault. So basically, if Utah State can get pressure on him and contain him, give him 80 yards in the ground, I expect that, but hold him to under 80 yards, Utah State should win. But I think it'll be something like a 21-15 game, something pretty low scoring.
Hey, and for BYU's coaches, you want an easy solution? Go find Steve Young. He's not doing much nowadays.
He's on ESPN, Monday Night Countdown.
Okay. He's free Monday. He's not free Monday nights. The rest of the week, get him over to Salt Lake.
You know who lives in Provo. Utah? You know who? Ty Detmer.
Get Ty Detmer!
However,
Heisman winner.
However, he was on our radio station the other day and for an interview, and he's like, in my opinion, his ass hasn't been offered enough money. He's like, I don't want to live that lifestyle. I'm assuming that translation, I haven't been offered enough money to live that lifestyle to be the quarterback coach. But they have, I've walked around the stadium, they have about 30 All-American quarterbacks sitting around somewhere. You had one on your staff, but that's enough. What do you think is going to happen scoring-wise? I know you're going to pick Utah State. Do you think it'll be like last year? Because I could think it can be twins. It can be if we predict how we've been saying, like if every position unit plays to their strengths, it'll be a close, low scoring game. But if Utah State's offensive line can contain, give Trekkie Keaton enough time, it's going to be a blowout. But I'm still not going to go that route yet.
Right now, I'm going to go ahead and give Utah State by 7-10.
Okay, so you're still close game. Okay, I think that's fair enough because we're not the biggest fans of BYU, or at least you publicly hate them. You still know they're a decent team on defense, at least.
No, they are.
So you're not like one of the guys who say I hate this team and they suck as well when they're really good, like Alabama or something. You're not going to say they're, you know what I mean, one of those Auburn fans, maybe.
Yeah.
War Eagle.
So,
Utah State, we're both predicting the win. So let's move on. I guess that's enough talk about that's the premier game of the week in my opinion. Is that the best game by far?
Should be. Should be.
Should be. And it's on CBS Sports Network, so BYU fans in the area complain, because I know you probably already will, because it's not on your precious ESPN. But let's move on to Nevada at San Diego State.
Okay, so first, before we start in this game, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the spread is for this Nevada-San Diego State game?
I remember looking at it before when I did my
first It's look. Changed since then.
I figured. It was San Diego State by 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, is it about a pick 'em now?
No.
Oh, did it go up or down?
It went up.
Oh.
Diego State by 5.5 now.
Oh, just a point. I thought it was like a big jump.
It's still, though. How is San Diego State favored in this game?
Actually, it's 6 points now.
6 points. 5.5, 6. It depends on who you're looking
at. Yeah, I'm looking at Odd Shark. They have a bunch. But yeah. They're at home?
Nevada has Fajardo back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has a knee brace. He's expected to be perfectly fine. They're running.
And look at Nevada's losses. They lost really horribly, but they lost to really good teams.
Is it because Quinn Kaler's a capable quarterback and can shred that secondary? Maybe.
Maybe.
Adam Wayman's not doing too well versus San Diego State. He's kind of the countdown curse struck him. Forever.
Now you have Donnell,
the freshman not Humphrey Pumphrey. Is that what his name is?
Yeah, Donnell Pumphreys.
Pumphreys. Yeah. So. Your guess is as good as mine why they're favored by that much. I figured it would stay about 3 to 4 points just because of the home field aspect, but not that Qualcomm really gives them a home field when there's 25,000 in a 70,000 NFL seat stadium.
No, no, no. You can make 25,000 in that stadium seem loud. I've been there when that's happened. The problem is they don't get 25,000. If they get 20,000, it's a good game.
Interesting.
But anyway, Nevada, San Diego State, Cody Fajardo is back.
It just boggles me. They're increasing. What geniuses are putting money on San Diego State to cover that?
I have no clue.
And not even cover, that's obviously win.
Mark Ziegler.
Our favorite San Diego State persona.
Yeah, you know, I used to be bagging on Stephanie Lowe, but she's okay.
Wait, no, hold on. Before I do that, I sent you a Google chat a while ago. Do you recall what that message said about that game?
Which one?
The possibility. Well, it's still up in the air, but Air Force San Diego State could be in question.
Yeah, I read about that.
So, I get it. It's technically accurate. You need to put it in there, basically, because we'll get to Air Force Navy, but that game is good to go. After that, we're not sure. They put in a mention like, well, maybe the game can be made up on December 7th, comma, if neither Air Force or San Diego State are in the Mountain West Conference title game. I get you need to mention that, but you should have worded it a little bit better because Air Force is 0-4 in conference play.
And San Diego State is
0-2. Yeah, 0-2.
They're 0-2. Neither one of these teams is going to be making.
No, that's why. Sorry, that's 0-2 at home. They're 0-0 in the Mountain West. But still, they're 1-3 overall, by mistake. I was looking at their home record. This is their conference opener against Nevada. But still, it's like, really? I mention it, but I would give her credit to say if San Diego State is in the title game because technically they're still in the hunt with 0-0 home conference record. But really, the way they played, no. I just find
and
that
really, fun. I mean, except for the win last week, which they had to come back from losing to New Mexico State and having to come back at halftime and basically win the game, I don't see, even with Nevada's horrible, atrocious piece of crap of a defense.
Secondary, yes.
No, just defense.
Okay. You're going a step further?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead a step further. There's no way Nevada's losing this game.
They should not. I don't see. Yeah. Cause like
even if Quinn Kaler has improved.
Which he has. He's a good quarterback.
Which he has. He's a decent quarterback. Give him another year to develop, and he'll be really good. He'll be out there with the rest of the Mountain West quarterbacks. But Muema's not back. Pumphreys is in, but, you know, that was
one
just
game.
Pumphreys
and New Mexico State. And it was
exactly
New Mexico State, so.
I don't see San Diego State winning this game even at home.
I could see it being a high-scoring game because neither defense is all that impressive at all.
Oh, yeah, high-scoring, definitely.
This is interesting here. Stephanie Lowe did, like, her comparison from the Tribune. Or was it UT San Diego? Is that still the San Diego Union Tribune? Is that the actual name?
That is the San Diego Union Tribune.
Making sure. But she actually gives, this is odd, the coaching edge to New Mexico, which is odd with the first time ever head coach.
Are you talking about Nevada?
Yeah.
Brian Polian?
Yeah.
You said New Mexico.
Oh, I apologize. Nevada, I mean, sorry. Like, they goes, here's the edge, offense edge here, defense edge here, or when this unit's facing this unit. I'm surprised you mentioned that Nevada gets the coaching edge.
Yeah, despite Rocky Long leading San Diego State to a portion of the conference championship last year.
Yeah, maybe.
Why does Polian have the art? Really?
She mentioned because of the juggling of quarterbacks so far. But I don't know. So I think she puts here Aztecs will win 34-31. I can see.
Well, I mean, I can see that.
Yeah, I think we're just more shocked that San Diego State's favored by almost a touchdown.
Yeah, I just can't take the points for Nevada.
Yeah, I think it'll be, yeah, I agree.
Regardless. But I'm pretty sure Nevada is going to win this game. I mean, they have reliable backups, or reliable in the vaguest sense of the word. You know, should something happen to Fajardo again?
Yeah, because we've seen, because if Devin Combs was healthy, I still would, and he's playing over at Fajardo for some reason, I'd still give them the edge. Even with Tyler Stewart, he showed up. Yeah, I get his first game versus Florida State, second half, first ever game. It's pretty daunting. He came back the next game and played perfectly fine in the win over Air Force, 45-42, and had good numbers. So you got Fajardo back. The running situation is still kind of messy with Don Jackson. Or it could be who else is back there? They have so many running backs back there. They have the depth. If one guy's not working, they have enough to, all right, your turn. All right, your turn. All right, your turn. You go on and see what you got.
So I think
if one guy's not going, they have enough guys to rotate in just to say what's working. Whoever's getting good or moving the ball, moving the chains, will get the get to carry. So I think it'll be a close game, but I think it's going to be Nevada winning by maybe within about a touchdown.
Yeah, I would go ahead and put it like that as well.
And also, don't forget, San Diego State lost Jake Feely for the year with a, was a broken leg, I believe. Broken something. Star linebacker. Yeah. The curse continues.
The the countdown curse continues.
For some players. All right, so let's move on to the next segment. Let's get back at this Army. Or not,
8:30 a.m. game Pacific time.
Air Force,
Navy.
At Navy, of course. It's on regular good old CBS, over-the-air CBS, which is nice. Because
this is going to...
Well, go ahead. You start with this.
This is going to be awesome just because something's actually working in the government.
Yes, it got... This game, like I said this earlier on, this game was close... It was supposed to be decided today on Thursday by noon Eastern with a press conference or something to decide what they're going to do, but it looks like outside sources have come into not basically non-appropriated government funds are paying for Air Force to travel to go to Annapolis, because Annapolis, there's, I find out, their scholarships, their coaches, they're like a 501c. They're not, basically they're not getting money from the government to pay for coaches or scholarships, not scholarships, but tuition, I should say, toward athletes. Because if you go to these service academies, you don't pay for school. You're obviously obligated afterwards for a couple years at least. All the funds toward athletics for Navy don't come from the government, so they could keep going whatever they wanted to do. Air Force, on the other hand, for whatever reason, the juniors and seniors were considered government personnel and could not travel as part of the restrictions of the shutdown. But somebody, and even some coaches, only one or two coaches I think were affected by this, who have to go on furlough, permanent leave for however long the shutdown goes on, non-paid. But like Troy Calhoun guys could go, but somebody stepped up, paid the money, which is quite a bit. It's about, what, 30 kids? I'd assume at least half their squads, about 40 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Cross country, last minute tickets. Because I'm assuming, I don't know how they do the travel, because I don't think the charter flight. Maybe.
But this is, okay, so this is, but this is my thing with privately funding the game and even making up the funds. I mean, you still have a game, and this game's going to be in Annapolis, correct?
Yes, it's not, yeah. Not,
how big is the stadium at Navy?
It's sold out at not, I can look really quick, maybe 40,000.
Sold out 40,000 for however much. There's your money coming back.
Well, that's what they're going to do. Part of it was, I don't know, because there's the first report saying they'll get Air Force there by using ticket sales, concessions. The Mountain West could step up to pay Air Force's travel. There could be TV revenue. But then there's another source saying private entities have come up to say we'll pay money to get them there. So I don't know where the money's coming from to get them traveling there. It just came from non-government funds. That's all we know.
Right.
So are you okay with that? Or
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Okay.
As long as there's college football.
And it's the only game on for half an hour.
It is. It is. They're going to get full attention. And actually, this game being on regular CBS, they will still continue to get full attention.
34,000 is the stadium capacity.
Yeah. And I'll go ahead. I'm giving Navy the advantage in this game, which they should. They're 11-point favorites.
And it's a way early start. 9:30 local time for Mountain Time for Colorado Springs. So I assume they travel. They don't think about it. They're going to lower altitude, but still, it's still way early to get up in. Because even if you're 11:30 game on a noon game, you're up probably 5 hours before the game. You're not going to wake up 2 hours before. You're up hours and hours before. Make sure you eat a good meal, not too early, but early enough. You get taped, drive to the stadium, walk through, or not walk through, but pregame stuff. They're probably at the stadium at 8 a.m., 3 hours before, 8:30 a.m. local time. That's 6:30 Air Force time, Mountain time.
Yeah, something like that.
That could have an effect, and it's dang early game. Air Force is still down to their third-string quarterback, who played well last week.
He played well last week, especially against Nevada. Although we talked about how bad Nevada's defense is, so that shouldn't be underlooked. But right now, Navy, despite their only loss against Western Kentucky, I mean, they did beat Indiana. They beat Delaware, who's a decent FCS
team.
Very good FCS team. They just decimated them 51-7. You lost to Western Kentucky, but Western Kentucky seems decent.
Probably Sun Belt champs, perhaps, or right up there.
Yeah.
Because it is Carson, plus Carson Roberts, who's the quarterback, who's in for his next start. He had 200 total
Keenan
yards.
Roberts.
Keenan is?
Keenan Reynolds.
No. What are you talking about?
Wait, are we talking about Air Force or are we talking about
Air Force? Their quarterback. We mentioned their third string, but did not get the name. I just recall I'd want to look it up, so we did mention Carson Roberts, just so we know what we're talking about a little bit. There's been so many quarterback changes in the league, we can't keep track of all 20 guys who've been seen playing time at least.
And Jahlil Aweeney is gone. Yes. And we're very sorry for that.
Well, he's not able to participate in extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
So whatever that means. But I agree. I think Navy's going to win. Navy's fine. They've kind of slowed down their – they're at the height under their head coach, first name only, Ken, because I'm not going to butcher his last name. I know you want me to. No, I'm not going to do it. I could look up the pronunciation guy, but no. Head coach Ken, Coach Ken at Navy, they had their uprising under Paul Johnson. They kind of dropped down a little bit. They're finally getting closer to what that was. I just think this will be a fun game to watch because it's all triple option, run option. It'll be probably 800 yards on the ground, maybe 700, 800. It'll basically come down to whoever can limit, like we always say, the big runs. Whatever, if Navy can stop the big runs by Air Force, or if Air Force can stop the big runs by Navy, that team will win. You'll see the occasional deep pass and turnover, a couple fumbles. And I just don't want to see any, like the past two couple years, there's been fighting, kind of people getting ejected late in the game. Let's have none of that this week. Is that a good plan?
Yeah, let's play some clean, good competition football.
So do you think and Navy's going to cover that 11 points?
I will say Navy will cover that 11 points because Keenan Reynolds, I do not know if you know the name, and this is what I was mentioning earlier. Keenan Reynolds, the Navy quarterback.
Pretty good.
Sure, he's only 14 for 21 this year, but that's for 324 yards. Two touchdowns. So he can throw deep. He's Navy's leading rusher, 55 carries for 259 yards. He seems to be the full package.
Yeah, Navy's averaging 301 yards per game on the ground, Air Force 296. So there'll be at least 600, maybe 700. So
and you cannot go wrong with triple option.
No, because you'll see the all we got to make sure is that camera work for CBS is on track, because you'll see that fullback dive over and over again. Then sometime he'll actually have it and break up for 50 yards, and you're watching the swing man on the top, and you're out of picture. Because this is the CBS B team, because it's not an SEC game.
Yeah.
So I think Air Force is going to cover. I think it'll be about touchdown game, but I still think Navy's going to get the win, and Air Force will. This probably will put them out of bowl contention because they're sitting at 1-4.
Yeah.
And after this, they still have a lot of games left to play because we're not going to do last week where I go mid-season. Well, we're not really at mid-season, but they still have Notre Dame. Well, maybe not. Their schedule's not very difficult, but still. If they lose this, they're not going to bowl game. If they could somehow win, they're on life. I think they're still possibly heading to a bowl game, or at least have the opportunity.
And if they win this, you know, they're at least taking the lead in the Commander-in-Chief's trophy.
And also, one thing I want to mention, too, because I wrote about it, because if this is, like I said, this is the only game that's good to go. When the last shutdown was, I think it's 95 or 96, it went on for 3 weeks, and they were able to play, because here's the thing. Oh, no, maybe not. Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm trying to thinking on the fly of the news about all the sports. Like, everything's been canceled outside of these two games, like soccer, water polo, volleyball, all that's been canceled because of the shutdown, home or away. They can all practice, depending if they have their coach available. But when the last shutdown went down, Notre Dame came to town, and they were able to get the game off because Colorado State brought in some people to help with the game. Notre Dame brought in people, but that may not happen because that was so early in the season. Mid-season, I don't know if they can bring in outside help because all half their staff, or not half, but maybe the score staff, or who, you know what I mean? Talk about the extra people who do stuff at the academy. A lot of them are government employees. They can't just because it's at home. There's no travel cost. We know that. But a lot of people, they can't work if this goes on. So who knows what's going to happen in the Mountain West, because they do play San Diego State a week from Thursday. They'll play 4 days later or 5 days later on Thursday. So there's still no word if that game goes on. And we don't know. I'd even think about it. I emailed the league and say, hey, what's the issue if Air Force can't play? I'd even think about forfeiture. I figured it's going to be like a no contest. Nobody gets to win. They're going to go by winning percentage. But they just came back and said, we're monitoring, we'll go day by day, just a generic, we're working on it response, or we won't say anything, or not going to speculate. Do you think they're going to give, if they can't play, is it going to be forfeit? How do you think it's going to play out, if that's the case?
I think it may be like the NCAA vacating victories. It'll be like that, but it'll
no
be
contest,
kind of like
just a no game?
Yeah, just no contest.
So how would they? Would there be any chance to make it up, maybe? Because that's... I don't know if that could be done.
I don't know.
Because Air Force, the good thing for Air Force, after that Thursday, October 10th, they don't play again until they host Notre Dame on October 26th. There's plenty of time. And I guess, I don't know what San Diego State's bye week situation is, but I don't know. It's, so I guess winning percentage? Is that the case?
Something like that.
I don't know. Because they... Okay, here's the thing that could happen. Not to go too off topic, because we don't know, but...
Well, we're already there. You might as well finish.
Well, I am going to finish what I'm saying. I just looked really quick. I thought my internet would crap out on me and go slow, but they could play the next Saturday because while they both play October 10th, they don't play again until October 26th. So they could either postpone a game to me Saturday, October 12th, or the 19th. So, just a thought.
Interesting.
That works out perfectly if that's the case. So, let's move on to the next game. I just wanted to bring people up to date because that could be the case. And if it is forfeiture, it'll be quite interesting what happens. Regardless, do we have to discuss the Kibbe Dome game? Fresno at Idaho.
Fresno wins. Derek Carr throws 7 touchdowns. End of story.
What about the secondary for Fresno State? Are they going to give up a couple touchdowns to Idaho?
No.
No, they're going to step up.
It's not even a step up. Idaho's just...
They're just that bad.
Yeah. They did manage a win against New Mexico State.
No.
They
Temple.
Already played New Mexico. Temple. God, how bad do you have to be to lose to Idaho?
BCS Automatic Qualifying Conference, Temple.
That is, oh my goodness.
How did they get Temple to come to the Kibbe Dome?
They used all the money in their savings.
Did they auction off Rob Akey's mustache?
I'm sorry, they couldn't find him. Little did they know, he was hiding in a bar in Soda Springs, Idaho. Yes, that is southeast Idaho. I do know where that is. That's what I said. He ran away to a place where nobody would care to find him.
I thought that's the whole state of Idaho.
Ouch.
Nah, Boise's not too bad. It's a decent-sized city. But they do have Chad Chalik there, who did throw 300 yards against Temple. So I think there's still going to be some success in the passing game. But my opinion is that after what happened versus Hawaii, they're going to want revenge and show that, hey, we have a decent defense.
Yeah.
Is that all we got? There's nothing else you want to add to that because it's freaking Idaho in the Kibbe Dome?
I really have nothing else to say.
What's the line of this game? We didn't mention that. Let's see here.
Here, I'll look it up. I'm right here.
Okay, what is it?
27.5. Oh, really? Only?
Only?
take the over, folks. Take the over. My goodness, that is...
Huh. Okay, that's 27 points, but you see what the over under is? It's only 67. That's like a 50-13 game or something. Maybe.
Maybe.
This is also a game if Derek Carr wants any chance at a Heisman, or at least get considered, put up 500 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Right?
Because,
yeah.
I said, Hawaii game's a black hole that late night, like everybody cared. But if he wants to have any consideration or redeem himself a little bit more, he needs to do that. All right, let's move on because it's stupid Idaho. And you agree with me on that, right? Boise State rival Idaho?
Is that something? Hate Idaho.
Who do you hate more, BYU or Idaho?
Damn it.
On the hot seat.
You know, purely for rivalry's sake, Idaho.
Okay. But Boise State has a long-standing deal playing BYU now for like the next decade, whereas Idaho is on the bench.
It's okay.
Okay, I didn't know if that changed your mind at all.
No, it didn't.
Okay, next game. Oh, these games are awful. New Mexico State, New Mexico. 0-5 New Mexico State, 1-3 New Mexico. This is on Root Sports at 7 Eastern or the Mountain West Network if you're outside of the Root Sports regional area, Rocky Mountain. Should New Mexico really blow out New Mexico State? Do we want to see that? Because we were high in New Mexico beginning of the season.
I think for New Mexico's purposes, they need to win by at least 10. The line is 9.5 right now.
Started off at 7 in favor of
Started off at 7. And I really do think Casey Carrier showed that he's still a beast. the New Mexico rush offense showed that they're pretty much awesome. But I mean, no, there's no. Once again, I'm very convinced there's no way New Mexico State is going to win this.
I agree too, because while Cole Gauchy can't really throw the ball, he's demanded for the job to run that offense.
Exactly.
Because we saw what was it? Mitch Clayton came in there. He could throw a little bit, but he wasn't able to run as efficient enough. And New Mexico State doesn't have the front seven or even the front three or four on their defensive tackles to do what UTSA did or Pittsburgh did, which was to stop, basically shut down any up the middle play, drive or dive or play action, whatever they want to do up the middle. So, do you think? I assume you want New Mexico. Think they're going to cover the 9 or 10 points?
Yeah, they should be able to cover.
Because New Mexico State, they're what, 0-5, I believe. I don't think they've won a game in the year, have they?
No, they haven't won a game.
This is, yeah, this is also independent New Mexico State. 0-5, who have they played? I'm curious really quick as we discuss. How did they lose to Texas 56-7?
Texas is bad. And they were just gifted with a win once again.
Correct.
They lost to
San Diego State last week. We should remember that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Mexico, hopefully this game will get them back on track because I want to see improvement on their end. And this is a good game. Even though they haven't played the best against the Mexico State rival the past couple of years, they kind of gone back and forth. I say at home, they're going to take care of business against the Mexico State and just put up 200 yards on the ground or 300 yards on the ground and just roll them over. So, yeah. That's all. I got nothing else to add. New Mexico State's a terrible team. New Mexico is a not-so-terrible team.
Yep.
Final game of the weekend is our late game. San Jose State at Hawaii. Both teams are averaging 18 points a game, but they're still terrible.
This could get interesting.
If B'nai Benwickery is still out from his injury, that could be an issue with the passing defense for San Jose State.
Well, I'm talking more about this. Hawaii played inspired. If it wasn't for a fourth down, if it wasn't for a fourth down non-conversion, Hawaii probably would have won last week.
Possibly.
Magic things happen on the island. Mm-hmm. And we know Fails is a good quarterback, but
their running game is terrible. Their rush defense is terrible. But yet again, Hawaii doesn't have a rush offense because Joey Osofa is still out. And plus also for Hawaii, Taylor Graham has been cleared to play, so there could be the quadrant quarterback situation again.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want to see for Hawaii. I don't know. I think my gut says San Jose State should crush them, but why should that be the case? Right?
Right.
So San Jose State is a 5-point road favorite for this game, which are you surprised by that at all?
No, not at all.
Not really. I don't know what to make of this game because Hawaii, they were inspired last week. They threw the ball pretty good with the multiple quarterbacks in there, Sean Schroeder and the true freshman quarterback person name I'm not going to pronounce because you'll make fun of me. Because I know you're begging, say the name.
Do it.
I can't even pull it up at the moment. Okay, I will give it a try. Let's pull
Do
up.
It.
I will pull up the freshman name. I know it's like... No, hold on. Let me see here.
He's not going to do it.
Ikeka Woosley?
Ikeka Woosley.
Ikeka Woosley. That's who started the game. He could see action. Sean Schroeder could see action. Taylor Graham could see action. I don't remember who the fourth quarterback was, but he could see action.
The other one could see action.
I forget his name. He played a couple weeks ago. He did not play against Fresno. And Schroeder did great, so I don't know who's going to start. But if Schroeder starts, he did throw for 321 last week. He was very competent, did well. If he's in there and does okay, because Hawaii does have Billy Ray Stutzman back for the second straight game. Here's the thing. If he's at full strength, I could see Hawaii pulling this game off. If Schroeder plays at least half, almost as good as he did last week against Fresno State secondary. And if Billy Ray Sussman does fine, and then Chris Gant had a good game last week outside for Hawaii, if they can get their passing game going, I would have no problem seeing San Jose State losing, or excuse me, Hawaii winning this game. Am I far-fetched by saying that?
No, not at all. Especially since Hawaii is disappointing, to say the least.
Well, yeah, Hawaii is.
Well, I mean, San Jose State.
Well, both teams are, but
I'm tired.
It's late. I took too long to get started here. So, what do you think? Who do you think is going to win this game then? Not just cover.
No. It's not even going to cover. It's going to be San Jose State between 1 and 3 points.
Just a close game. Do you think it'll be a high scoring game similar to last week Fresno State game?
No, because, and here's the thing. Outside of the Minnesota game, San Jose State does have the defense to keep it, you know, within reason. Despite Schroeder, they play a very bend-don't-break defense, and we saw that against Stanford.
Yeah, but then they gave up a ton of rushing yards to Minnesota. They haven't really done much of anything, really. And I mean, they lost their top two linebackers. Ben Wickery is a could may or may not play at this time. So I don't know. And all this area of the coaching staff, it's just what is it here? Execution issues. No,
I'm gonna go ahead and say it's gonna be like 24 or something like that. 20-25.
Okay, we'll go with that. By who though? San Jose State, right? Is that you? Already mentioned
San Jose State.
That?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting tired, Jim. Like, who did you say again? Okay, as for me for the pick, I'm gonna say Hawaii's gonna get the win. I'm taking your stupid upset pick and taking it for me for Hawaii to win this game outright.
Interesting.
Outright. Because if Sean Schroeder can do what he did, and if Billy Ray is back after second week of playing for the first time all year, my qualifier is that Sean Schroeder is the only quarterback to play the game, which, what does that give me, 15% not chance that'll happen? 20%?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to say Hawaii's going to win. San Jose State's falling off the rails, but I think it could be a high scoring game, like in the 30s for each team. So yeah, is that okay? I'm going to call that being a crazy pick. So I will say it's a crazy pick. Is there any? There's a couple teams on bye week. Really quick, do you think? Because we're going to do our midseason show, so maybe we'll hold off on discussing Wyoming, UNLV, Boise State, and who else is on a bye week? UNLV, right?
Or Colorado State.
Colorado State, yes. Shaq Barrett, great player. He's on our Defensive Player of the Year list, correct?
Yeah, go ahead and pronounce that again.
Is it Shaq Barrett?
I thought it was Shaquille.
I know it's Shaquille, but he goes by Shaq, too.
It goes by Shaq. Oh, you said Shaq.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't hear that, sorry.
The big Aristotle.
That's pretty awesome.
No, that's Shaquille O'Neal. So what? Here's the plan for the week. We got our games Friday. Join our open threads. Please give a comment. Come on, people. I know there's people out there who listen and come to the website. Out of all the 90 college websites, we were number 23 for people visiting. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Better than Florida Gator fans. Better than the whole SEC, and they say they're the best fans ever. But
except for Bama.
Well. Yeah, Roll Bam Roll is
Roll Bama Roll is doing pretty damn well.
Crushes everyone. So have a visit. BYU fans, come tell us we suck. Come tell me I hate BYU because I went to Utah. You may or may not be far off on that. I don't hate BYU as much as other people do.
Come at me, BYU bros. Yeah,
come here. So yeah, check it out, MWCConnection.com. We will have our midseason video show. So we will do a podcast, but check out our video show for a special well-dressed version, shall we say.
It's going to be a midseason awards, and it's award show, so you know you have to look your
finest.
What
I expect, yeah. It's not the Oscars, but we'll put something together. So, yeah, that's what we got for the evening. So, like I said, check out the game Friday. Stop by all weekend to the website. And let's just hope everybody's team has a good job, and especially those on the bye week. Remember, you cannot lose this week.